Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, we'll go back and look at the number, the calls, and we sent some number five man rushes. We had a couple six man rushes. We got to get better pass rush. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, to your point, you know, that's not going to be good enough ever. So we got to figure it out. We got to have an answer for that.
Oh, we don't have that. We can't pair that with the nobody appreciates pass rush as much as we do.
There you go. Anyway. That was Harbs.
That's talking sunglasses about the pass kid.
Rush. Yeah. Well, no, that's
no, sunglasses kid is nobody.
Yeah.
Nobody appreciates pass rush as much as
well,
we do.
Well, the Ravens have
won't pay for it.
The Ravens have a pass rush issue, and they did not get close to Jared Goff on Monday night. And now they got the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes on Sunday, and what are they going to do for a pass rush there, Jason?
Hope and pray. Thoughts and prayers. Fingers crossed. Look, we all had an assignment. Go scan the internets and see what's out there, and we'll get to the fruit of our labors in the next segment. But I'm spoiler alert, not much. You know, we'll see what they can do with the trade deadline. The cost is usually prohibitive, especially for pass rush. And you know how they love their picks because their picks are cheap. Their picks are free money, and they have to actually pay for pass rush, and they don't want to do it. I think they're in a lot of trouble. I think that they've been asking to be burned for a while now. And we've talked the last 2 years about their injury luck being pretty phenomenal. But that's probably not going to happen again. And if this is, in fact, the best roster in the NFL, as oh so many people told us it was, then that means it better have quality depth too. And it definitely better have quality depth for me at the blue ribbon positions, the most important positions in the NFL. And so we're talking quarterback, we're talking pass rush, we're talking D tackle, you know, we're talking left tackle. And there's several of those positions that we pointed out, boy, there doesn't seem to be much there at all. Not even as much as last year or the year before because of retirements or defections or what have you. So there's a lot of football still to be played. And there's a lot of bad film available to see all the different ways you can puncture this defense. And now they're facing whatever we might think of this iteration of the Chiefs. And it's by no means an offensive juggernaut. It's still Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. And it's still Arrowhead. And I think they're going to come out of this game licking their wounds again.
You're going to have to get pass rush through schemes and deception and stunts and twists. And they don't have a guy at edge that scares you. And you could say the same thing when everyone was healthy, going back to camp, even prior to camp, where a lot of people, oh my gosh, you got too much at edge. I was still saying, go out, get your Davion Clowney, go out and get someone on the edge. Like, they don't have a dude. And unfortunately, bringing it up a lot this week and for a long time now, they need to allocate serious resources moving forward at edge. And just looking at positional spending earlier today, cornerback position, they haven't been outside of the top 10 in cornerback spending since 2017. They've been in the top 10 ever since then, 2018 through now, and that's 1 year of Ozzy, of course, the rest with Eric DaCosta. They haven't been top 10 in spending on the edge since 2013, and that was when they had Terrell Suggs and Elvis Dumervil. You look at each year with Eric DaCosta, the spending at edge, 31st in 2019. They were 13th in 2020. That was when Matt Judon was tagged. 30th, 23rd, 26th, 29th. This year, they're 16th because Adafe Owe is playing on a fifth-year option. So they've only been in the top half in spending twice in this stretch.
Here's the other thing. They don't have any edge dudes, but they did have one dude inside, and that's Nnamdi Matabike. And before I get where I went down a rabbit hole earlier today, here's Harbs yesterday talking about Matabike's injury.
I would say I am concerned about it, but I'm not really in a position to comment on it right now. I haven't been given the okay to comment on it at this point. So he's not going to play this week, I can tell you that. And we're going to have to see going forward when they know what they need to know.
So he's got a neck injury, and now he's got what the head coach is describing as a concerning neck injury. And I just started thinking this morning, how many guys come back from neck injuries when they're major? Like, if Nnamdi Matabike, God forbid, and
so how many? How far down the rabbit hole did you go?
I went and looked at his contract. It's a 51.9 dead cap if he retires. That's where I went. Like that. That's where I ended up going when I thought, well, what if this guy doesn't ever play again? What's the cap hit on that? Now, granted, you can restructure, but that's you got to pay the piper at some point. But that's $52 million.
Well, I'm not. Look, they got a billionaire who runs this team and makes money hand over fist. So my concern isn't that. My concern would be Nnamdi Matabike being robbed of what should be the prime of his career if something like that were to happen. And my thought would be this team is in deep trouble, not this year, but for years to come, because there aren't that many top five D tackles.
No.
Around. And for me, he's a top five D tackle. And even last year, as we picked apart how some of that season wasn't what the previous season was, it was still a difference maker. It was still someone who affected the way you had to prepare to face the Baltimore Ravens. Even when the $20 million linebacker behind him was playing like a $5 million linebacker, and even when they had two safeties out there who shouldn't have been on the team, let alone starting, Matabike still held some things together. And, he's an absolute difference maker, and they're. I don't know how good of a defense they were going to be with him. I don't think they were going to be great. I think they could have been good enough to be a playoff defense as long as the offense can score 35 on anybody. But without him,
that's a big hole.
Without him, I think it's a bottom five NFL defense. I don't think all those corners are going to do a damn stopping the run and do a damn rushing the passer enough to be worth what they're being paid. I think this thing has a chance to completely undermine itself.
By the way, obviously, he didn't practice today. Broderick Washington didn't practice today. Ronnie Stanley has now not practiced for two straight days. No Ricard, obviously. Travis Jones was back at practice today. And Kyle Van Noy, while not practicing, was working on an adjacent field. So this is a banged-up team heading into Kansas City.
Look, scheme it up. Do whatever you think you can do. I think the two guys who got elevated from one from the practice squad and one who got signed yesterday, I think they're going to be up, and I think they're going to be playing, and they might have to play more than anybody would want.
Well, they signed two guys, Tupo and the guy from Jacksonville. Yeah. So they might both be playing. Now, who was the former first-round pick? I think he was taken ahead of Lamar Jackson by Jacksonville.
34.5 rushing yards, Isaiah Pacheco.
Good, taking the over?
Yeah.
He taking the over, Jason?
I think that one could cash in, honestly, in the first quarter.
Wow. We have a monster Thursday show. We're very busy. A lot of football. We'll get some baseball. Orioles are playing their final home game of the season as we speak, trailing Tampa 3-1. But we will keep it up to date as we go. But guest-wise on this program, Tony Gwynn Jr. talking baseball at 2:30 on Odyssey MLB Insider. Odyssey NFL Insider, easy for me to say. Brian Baldinger. Baldy joins us at 3. Lucy Burge from DraftKings. She joins us every week for Best Bets and Nonsense at 4 o'clock. And Cynthia Freeland, who is a Lions fan, but also loves the Ravens.
Yes.
So very curious from NFL Network to see what she has to say about about that Monday Night Football game.
Got a lot to get to. How many we got at this finale?
Looks like there's some people there.
Yeah.
I'll say
it's a fitting end to this season. I gotta tell you.
Yeah, it's something. It's something. They got three in the Bronx, and then
they should have scheduled it at 9 a.m.
Breakfast at Camden Yards.
Yeah,
I don't like that. Mm-hmm. I like that idea. So coming up next, what's out there on the street? What could the Ravens add at D line? Well, we're going to tell you next.
A lot to appreciate.
Yes.
A lot of pass rush on the street to appreciate, you think?
I'm
from the Appreciation King?
Yeah, we're going to find out.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Next.
Pass rush, believe me, there's nobody that appreciates pass rushers more than me, you know, and I've seen some great ones here, and I'm optimistic and excited. You know, fortunately, we got a chance to take Odafe last year. We think his future is very bright, and I'm excited that we also got Tyus Bowser under a long-term contract last year, and that he'll be back, in my opinion, full strength, ready to go at the start of training camp.
Eric DaCosta in one of our favorite.
Blast from the past.
Yeah, he got Tyus Bowser signed to a long-term deal. Odafe's
the Ray-Ban
still in the
kid,
fold.
Baby. Rock him at night.
Are you sure those are Ray-Ban?
I don't care. Yeah. That's the only brand I know.
Yeah, Maui Jims are popular these days. Oakley's,
Maui
Jason.
Gym.
Yeah.
Maybe
I got Maui Jims.
Maybe an intrepid reporter around here to get to the bottom of it.
I wear Maui Jims. They're nice.
Have you heard back from DaCosta's stylist? You haven't heard back?
I haven't reached
about,
out.
About getting him or her on the show?
I can't. I don't know if I'm fixable.
Nobody appreciates sunglasses at night like Eric DaCosta.
So alas, then shout out Corey Hart. Jason, you went scouring to see what was out there.
Ooh-wee.
For the Ravens. And I would think, being that we're almost to the end of September, there's got to be a bounty of good pass rushers on the street potentially for the Ravens. Terrell Suggs?
Yeah, exactly. From the edge department, there's 37-year-old Jerry Hughes. There's 30-year-old, but with the body of a 35-year-old, Carl Lawson.
Mm.
Shaq Barrett.
Ooh. Isn't he local?
Yeah, I also don't know about his health, though.
Yeah.
That was really it that stood out to me from the edge group. I feel like interior defensive linemen, you've got some other options. Obviously, Christian Wilkins is...
Yeah.
A difference maker.
He's interesting.
I don't know what's going on with him personally. I think they better be willing to deal with quite a bit to bring a player and a body type like that.
Have you heard he's like that he's a locker room problem? Like, is there whispers of that out there in the ether?
There are whispers, but he's also been on two teams that are janky, that don't have real NFL head coaches. You didn't hear a lot about it in Miami when he was a top 10 D tackle in
sure.
this league. I think there are some quirks there, but, you know, not everybody's going to be your team captain.
No.
So I just think, look, him, Jordan Phillips, Hottie is out there.
Oh!
If you're looking for a true run stuffer, Linval Joseph, I think, is quasi-retired. Like, I think he's quasi-retired, but money talks.
How about Michael Pierce? He looked like he could fill that middle.
I think he's retired.
Yeah.
Hottie, I think, got picked up.
Oh, did he?
I think he's in Tennessee now.
Oh,
yeah. I was looking at him. Yeah, pretty sure. I'm trying to find his
now. You know, when you start to look at potential trades,
yes,
that's where things could get interesting. But again, that's mostly for the edge. Like, Cam Jordan's down to $6 million now. Mm-hmm. Like, if they're 0-9, and I know he wants to be a Saint for life and everything, but I've heard that from a lot of guys.
Yeah, before. A lot of guys want to be a blank
and
for life.
And he's not the Cam Jordan of before.
Hottie's with the Titans.
Just Hottie's with the Titans? Yeah. Okay.
Way to ruin that one, Bone.
I was just, hey, facts.
No, thank you. Thank you. I thought Hottie was still out there.
It's more hope.
Cam Jordan, maybe.
Yeah.
We've talked a little bit about Kayvon Thibodeau.
Doc.
There's a lot of pass rush on the Giants. It's not playing that well together right now. And they might be 0-6, 0-7, and looking to move on. I mean, they got Abdul Carter there. It's not like they haven't fortified that position.
Sure.
You know, and then...
got Dexter Lawrence there.
Miami, Bradley Chubb's contract is a little cumbersome.
Uh-huh.
But if he wants to go somewhere with a chance to win, and you can always get with the agent and move some things around, like... if that's truly a sinking ship, and I think it is, and they've also got, you know, Phillips, who's making 13. He's making less than Chubb. Mm. But, that you know, I could see those owners being like, yeah, let's move. Let's if we get, we get, eight, we get $8 million off our books.
Yeah.
What about, it's not an edge guy, Jeffrey Simmons?
I don't think that owner is going to let it happen for the some of the same reasons that they couldn't get Derrick Henry.
Yes.
She's very involved. Yes. She's very meddlesome. She's very interested in how many fannies are in the seats. And I don't know that, like, we think of Jeffrey Simmons as a person who moves the needle nationally, but I think he saw some jerseys there, and I think that would be akin to waving the white flag, and there's a lot to do in Nashville, and she's trying to get a stadium built. So if she looks like she's going super cheap, and trust me, she's uber cheap.
Yeah.
But if she's overtly uber cheap, I think the optics and everything she's got going on there politically, and also, like, I mean, do you want to lose 40-0 every week? Like, I just don't know that.
I just figured that.
I thought about it. I thought
about it. Out of it.
Trust me. I thought about it. And like, would I be shocked? No. But I also think these guys got burned going down that road again. So for them specifically, I don't know that they would get there. And I don't think she wants her football people to do it. And I don't even know how empowered her football people are right now.
Because don't they change them every
year? They've won 3 of their last 20 games. So if she doesn't want to do it, it's not happening.
They change your football people every other year.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Thibodeau's a name that seems to be out there. The Giants, yes. The Duck, former first-round pick, pass rusher. Now, but is that a guy, is that a second and a fifth? What are you trading for Kayvon Thibodeau at this point?
Yeah, I mean, it's more, you go back to what you thought coming out of the draft, and you're still going more on potential than actual production there.
He's got bent.
No, like look, he was a top five pick for a reason. I mean, not all those guys pan out, but he would check a lot of the boxes that they look for. From a physical metric standpoint. And Lord knows they've been willing to look past lack of true pass rush.
Yeah.
Get home in a bunch of different ways before. And here's the other problem, though. This isn't like you're looking for a box safety. Like, everybody would want it. Like,
everybody wants pass rush.
Like, you don't think Howie Roseman would be in on these people?
Yeah.
He lost some dudes in free agency. That D-line isn't quite as good as it was a year ago. So, like... and that's why these guys often come in second, because their dirty little secret is they're not winning spending wars with anybody. So those draft picks really matter. And when Eric talks about, I need all those lottery tickets, in part he does it because he knows the cash budget he gets from his owner is not going to be able to compete with 8, 10, 12, 15 other teams any given year. That's also why they cry behind fake salary cap woes.
Can I ask about one more guy? And he's not an edge, but he did have 9 sacks a year ago, and that's Dexter Lawrence, who... depending who you read, might be available because of the same reason that Thibodeau is available, because the Giants stink. And I think he's got a big contract.
Yeah, I mean, he's pretty much the same deal as Jeffrey Simmons. They're both under contract through 27.
It's a big ticket item. And that's another owner who Mara's had. They've sucked forever.
Yeah.
Go look how many times they've traded blue chip players at the deadline who they could have moved for money. He doesn't philosophically believe in it. You know, I think they'd be more inclined to let somebody else give Thibodeau his second contract. We already drafted his replacement in Abdul Carter. And that doesn't read so much like a salary dump. It reads like Dexter Lawrence would be a flat-out salary.
Yes.
He's a top-five defensive tackle.
Yeah. That leper's not changing.
Most of these guys aren't going anywhere.
Yeah.
Could they pry one from this whole list that we gave? Could they pry one? They probably could. But again, if somebody else wants them more, they're always looking at next year. Mm-hmm. They're always looking at comp picks. They want freebies, not paybies. But they appreciate pass rush.
They do. They do appreciate it. Hey, you
know, with their sunglasses on.
You know what we appreciate? We appreciate Tony Gwynn Jr. He's an Odyssey MLB insider. We're heading towards the final weekend of the season. The playoffs are next week. We'll talk baseball with Odyssey MLB insider Tony Gwynn Jr. next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here on the Fan. The Major League Baseball season, regular season, ends on Sunday. The playoffs start on Tuesday. It's a perfect time to head out to the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline, where we're joined by Odyssey MLB insider Tony Gwynn Jr. Insider calls presented by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. And Tony, thank you as always for your time. We appreciate it. So Ramon Laureano, fractured finger. They're saying he's going to miss at least the first round. How big a loss is this for the Padres?
I think it's a huge loss. I mean, Ramon has been, I mean, everything you could ask for in a trade deadline acquisition. And to lose him, I mean, a week before postseason play starts, it's going to hurt. And I don't think the Padres have anybody that can replace him. It's just going to take everybody really raising the level of play, especially at the bottom of the lineup where he has been magnificent. So, you know, I understand there's a chance he may be able to come back after the wild card round. I really find that to be highly unlikely, maybe especially early in that series. And so the Padres have to figure out a way to add offense with guys that they already have to kind of fill the void.
Tony, what is it about the AL Central? This time a year ago, the Tigers make that remarkable comeback, make the playoffs, make some noise, and now the Guardians are in first place in that division. Assuming they're able to hold on there, could that be a surprise team in October?
I don't know that they have enough to make that kind of run deep. But in terms of the first question, what's going on with the AL Central? I don't think any of us have been able to figure it out in quite a few years. I mean, you could not have convinced me when we might have talked in the middle of the year, and I think I said Detroit's the best team in baseball. You would not have been able to convince that, Tony, that in September that the Guardians would have been able to, you know, close the gap on, what, 15.5 games that they were out at one point? It has really been remarkable to see the collapse that the Tigers have had. Now, they got a few games to try to figure this out and maybe rectify the situation. But I think either both of those teams, honestly, you know, not the Guardians, really the Tigers, even if they get in, you wonder how deep they can go anyway. The Guardians at least are coming in hot. You wonder, though, are they peaking a little too soon as we go into the playoffs? Because they've been playing some good ball for quite some time now.
How interested are you to see how the Dodgers configure their rotation and their bullpen? Like, where does Otani go? Where does Kershaw fit? Do they really only need three starters? It sounds like maybe Sasaki in the pen, but he had a weird transition to just starting and starting every 6 days or 5 days, let alone this. Obviously, Tanner Scott's a problem. Like, it feels like there's a lot of variance there.
There are, and I think we all know when you go into postseason baseball with a lot of variance, that doesn't usually bode well for you. But I mean, listen, they got a creative group over there, and you've already started to see some of the ideas. Sasaki possibly coming out of the pen. We saw Kershaw come out of the pen last night. They're not afraid to try anything, and quite frankly, I don't know that they have a choice. That bullpen, in particular, the way the closing role has gone, I don't think they have much of a choice. They're going to have to get creative. Tanner Scott has seemingly lost confidence at this point. And, you know, it goes to show you, I mean, when the Padres had him last year, he was marvelous. But he was also pitching in a setup role. They were able to find the matchups that they wanted and kind of, you know, just use him that way. And it worked brilliantly. I think for the Dodgers, they've kind of put him in that closer role from the very beginning. And as we've seen, it just hasn't necessarily gone the way they had hoped it would. And I think that opens them up. I mean, obviously now having a healthy Glass now, a healthy Blake Snell certainly allows you to kind of have the kind of outside the box thinking as it pertains to how you want to use Shohei. I think he's the wild card in all of it, right? I mean, he showed last night he can give you some innings at this point. Do you want to risk it? Do you want to use him out of the pen? Of course, you use him out of the pen. It makes it a little bit more difficult to apply that Ohtani rule at that point. So they got a lot of different variants going on right now, and they're going to have to figure it out soon. Shoot, the Padres still have a chance to win this division with the way they've played lately.
We're talking with Tony Gwynn Jr. It's Inside Access here on The Fan. Tony, Cal Raleigh became the fourth American League player ever to hit 60 home runs in a season last night. First and foremost, it looks like the Astros, they got a shot. They're going to miss the playoffs for the first time in a while, but Seattle's won that division. So is Cal Raleigh your AL MVP, or is it Aaron Judge?
I think I like Cal Raleigh a lot. And considering the position he's doing it from, I mean, this is a remarkable, remarkable season. I would say Kyle Raleigh is my MVP. I know out West, that's probably the sentiment for a lot of people. And I'm not sure how many folks back East are staying up late enough to watch Kyle Raleigh and the work he's doing, but he has been phenomenal. And we focus on the offense, but in a position where it is of the most importance, he's also a terrific defender. You know, whether it's putting the fingers down or catch and throw, he can do a little bit of it all. And so I the way he's come on here, as especially the last couple of weeks, I mean, two homers last night, I see him as the front runner right now. I thought that might be a wild kind of take, but I just see the year he's had, the position he's doing it from, the team he's doing it with. I like him at the top right now.
Tony, looking at the American League as a whole, still two divisions up for grabs. Only three teams have clinched a spot in the postseason. The playoffs in general are going to be pretty wild in the AL. Who is the best team in the American League right now for you?
I think it's Seattle right now. I think the way they've played here as of late, they have the starting pitching. They got enough bullpen. And that's going to be the question for them when they get into the postseason. Do they have enough out of the pen to really, you know, lock down some of these games? But I like their offense. I mean, it's a much improved team. Obviously, Kyle Raleigh leading the way, but they got a bunch of good players in that lineup. Eugenio started to swing the bat after getting off to a slow start. You know, so right now, it's the Mariners and Blue Jays as the two best teams. Mm. I would take the Mariners.
So you still? I was going to ask you about the Blue Jays. So are you shaken at all in them with what's going on there? It looks like they might lose. Everyone's focused on the Tigers, but it looks like the Blue Jays could lose their grip on the division to the Yankees. And Barrios seems unhappy about a change in a role. And I don't know that the vibes are perfect there right now. You still like them?
The vibes aren't perfect there, but I still like them better than I like the Yankees out of the East. Mm. I still see some of the same flaws that eventually caught the Yankees up last year still being a part of the same thing. They've played some better baseball here as of late, but you know, I think when you get into the postseason, everything's under a microscope. Some of those warts are going to get a little bit bigger, and I'm not sure that they've done enough to really address those. And so I still got Seattle as the best team. I think Toronto's going to win that division still. I know they're tied 90-68 apiece, But I just have this feeling that the Blue Jays are going to be able to pull it out.
Tony Gwynn Jr., always great,
thank
man.
You.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for having me, fellas.
That was Odyssey MLB Insider Tony Gwynn Jr. with supplies and solutions for every industry. Granger has the right product for you. Call clickgranger.com or just stop by. And coming up next, we'll hit the hot corner. We'll get you an in-game update. And are we looking at the Orioles running it back with Tony Manzolino next year? We'll discuss.
Legos for everybody.
We'll discuss next year on The Fan. Orioles trailing 3-2, final home game of the year. Ryan Mountcastle driven in both the runs on a home run and a base hit. His, as I said to you off the air, his final game as an Oriole at home.
Says you.
It's going very well. They lost last night 6-2, and something we see about every 2 weeks, they were getting no hit through six innings. So that's fun. Alas, where do you want to go first, the Legos or the manager?
You know where I want to go.
Well, let's get to it. So Pete Fairbanks, the closer for the Tampa Bay Rays, hit Sam Basayo. Looks like everything's okay. Basayo says his wrist feeling much better today. Hopes to play tomorrow. And then made a gesture at what looked like the Orioles dugout after the game, but it turns out it was at a fan. He spoke afterwards and said, no, I got nothing against those guys. They're Lego-loving dudes. That's cool. And at first it did sound like he was taking a shot at those guys for playing Legos. Then it turns out he's a Lego guy too. So I guess their brothers in arms. Alas, if that's what the Orioles are known for, Legos, that I don't know if that's what I want to hang my hat on.
I just think we got to be real about what's going on here. They sold you a core of top five picks who are going to be the next chapter, the next wave, the next leaders, the next great era of Baltimore Orioles baseball. And they were going to get it right all across the board. They were going to be developed to be not just great players, but leaders and guys who would have a winning baseball culture. Their baseball culture is horse bleep. They don't win. They haven't won. They've come up exceedingly small in the playoffs. And they don't have any leaders. They don't have any alphas. And we're now hearing this. How many different clubhouses now have we heard someone from the Orioles, former Oriole or whatever, talk about the Orioles' lack of leadership, talk about their leadership void? We've heard it in three different languages. We've heard it in English. We've heard it in Spanish from Laureano. We've heard it in Japanese from Sagano. We've heard it in the Mets clubhouse. We've heard it in the Padres clubhouse. We've heard it in the Tampa clubhouse. We've heard it in the Orioles clubhouse. Like, we've got their guys saying, we don't know how to lead. You got other people saying they don't know how to put together a club the right way with actual leaders. Their brand isn't that we've got a core. They're selling you a fake core. Major League Baseball is telling you they're a joke. They're the Lego guys.
They like Legos.
Why'd I throw in a Lego guy? They're no threat. They're no fear. You saw what happened when Heston got clunked in the head. Freddy Gonzalez came running out of the dugout. Bro, they're a joke. They're thought of as a joke. Their brand is, we're a joke. They're lovable losers. A bunch of kids who don't know any better.
Not that lovable.
And don't have any leadership and can't hold each other accountable and keep looking to a buffoon GM who doesn't know how to bring in anybody to hold them accountable. Freddy Gonzalez was too tough for them. He had to go. He's a good cop. It's a joke. And you can't tell me that you've ever seen that anywhere before. You could tell me I'm an old man. You could tell me a lot of things. Why would I want to throw at those guys? They're the Hanson brothers from Slapshot before the game playing with their remote control cars.
Yeah, but those guys will beat the crap out of you.
Yeah, you did fear them.
Yeah, you fear that. They're putting, what, the tape
putting
on
the
their
foil.
Yeah. So that's a little different.
Like, come on, man. Let's be real about
Bun
how they're
no
being
idea
viewed.
That reference it, by the way.
We've got three languages of people saying they're a bunch of goofballs.
It's definitely concerning, and it's very clear that they don't have an alpha. They haven't had an alpha in quite some time. Heck, you can even go back to earlier this season when Hoffman blew them a kiss.
Who does? Like, come on, man. No one takes them seriously in their own ballpark.
That was in Baltimore as well.
Yeah. He's had a good
We didn't even talk about the Sagano stuff. How about the Sagano stuff?
Talk about it.
I mean, this guy got promoted. The guy who put this whole concoction of crap together got promoted. They still don't have the balls to tell you when they did it, how they did it,
exactly what's left
on his contract. What is his exact title? They haven't even told you the exact title publicly.
No, they have not.
And they're making the case with shills all over the media about why the bocce ball guy is so good to coach their team.
I will say with that, if you asked me, and you've been talking about this for
you've been saying this for a few weeks.
A month ago, I would have said 0.0% chance, but with each passing week, at this point, it wouldn't surprise me. Which
Who
is
wants
crazy
to come manage the Lego bunch and get fired again on Memorial Day if the GM decides he'll never be accountable?
Well, you would think if you got the job, you'd get to manage at least a full season.
I mean, like, this is seriously, seriously troubling stuff.
It's flawed for sure.
This doesn't happen in the major leagues. This is like out of a movie. This is like out of, I watched that last night and I'm like, is this Bull Durham? Is this the Carolina League A-ball of the 1980s? What is this? What planet am I on?
The good news is you can count on every 2 weeks to get no hit.
And so since then, we've had a media availability after and a media availability before. Any chirping back? Does the peanut gallery have anything to say for itself?
Well, Mancelino, I was watching the presser. He was saying, I guess he heard the fan above them that, you know, he was blowing a kiss to the Rays closer. I don't know. It's
Fairbanks, yeah.
It's bizarre.
Here's the good news. It's over soon.
Can't wait.
We got this day. They're down 3-2 in the sixth. And then you got three games in the Bronx. And then we'll watch playoff baseball, which the Orioles will not be a part of.
And yeah, they'll be building the Millennial Falcon or whatever. I mean, it's on to the, stuff that matters.
I think they finished that.
Yeah. I don't know.
But it is Lego time.
This thing is broken. This thing is, and the cat's out of the bag. How many different people and how many different languages and how many different clubhouses need to call them clowns before you see any sort of fight back, anything?
Full disclosure, though, Fairbanks was complimenting them.
Whatever, man.
He was.
Whatever. I'd like to see him say that about any other clubhouse in baseball.
He's a Lego guy. That's why That's why he said it.
How do you think? Okay, you're taking it that way. So yes. he heard about it from Baker, right?
Yes.
So Baker thought, there's enough weird S going on over there. Baker's been there about 6 weeks, and they already know about what the shenanigans going on.
I hear you, but then their former
reporter posted him playing with Legos. Real world.
The real world is he likes Legos.
Yeah.
Now everything else is cool, but he likes Legos.
That's great that he likes Legos. Does Baker like Legos?
I don't know what Baker likes.
Well, who did he find out about
moonwalking.
It from? Did he find out about it on Reddit, Lego Freaks, did he find out about it from Baker?
But maybe
how do you think Baker
Orioles
presented it? But here, hey, Baker, what's going on in the clubhouse over there? I thought that team was going to be good by now. Let me tell you.
Here's another way it could happen. Maybe Fairbanks is playing with Legos, and Baker said,
and he's,
you know,
like,
what?
The Orioles should trade for you?
No.
Michael Elias would love you?
He said, hey, all those fools over in that clubhouse play with Legos too.
Maybe he follows those guys on social media, Jason.
He is a Lego guy. It's a confirmed Lego guy.
It's a community, Jason. You wouldn't get it.
That's true. Legos are fun. You don't like fun.
I like winning.
Yeah, I do like winning.
Winning's fun. Get back to me when they want something here.
Not
besides the most regular
Falcon
season games between May 15th and January, between May 15th, 2023 and June 20th, 2024, they had the best record in the major leagues.
Oh, that was 23 and 24.
That was a fun time. Hey, you know what's fun?
Yeah, this is totally normal stuff.
When we get to talk to Brian Baldinger, which is every Thursday.
The teams are going to the playoffs. Yeah. We're 7 years in and we're talking about Legos.
Hey.
But by golly, give Mike Elias more time and more money.
Can we have a press conference at least? Brian Baldinger, are the Ravens' defense, is their defense broken? We'll ask him next here on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And you're seeing exactly
why
it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're
telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right. And the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.